Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie, your host, and today is about feng shui and health. Our guest today is Diana Ambrus. Diana Ambrus is a certified feng shui consultant. She's a member of the Feng Shui Institute International and a licensed and nationally board-certified muscular therapist. One of Diana's specialties is styling homes for sale, where she works with real estate professionals and clients using basic feng shui principles for the purpose of selling homes. Welcome, Diana Ambrus.
Thank you, Emmy. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us and being my guest on the show. How has your year been? I understand that you went through a lot of things this year.
Well, it's been an interesting year thus far. I was early in this year, at the end of January, diagnosed with breast cancer, and I was very immediately, or very quickly thereafter, scheduled for a double mastectomy, which I did undergo in early March, and I am recovering from that now. So it's been interesting.
What is a double mastectomy?
A double mastectomy is where a breast cancer surgeon removes the breast tissue, and a double means he removes the breast tissue on both breasts. Even though I was diagnosed with cancer in one breast only, because he had done a needle biopsy and they determined that some of the cancer cells were the invasive kind of cancer cells, the kind that like to travel, they opted, and we all opted, to remove both breasts. So that is what a double mastectomy is. During the process, they actually check for the lymph nodes to see if the cancer has spread to the lymph nodes. They remove the tumor, and they check the margins. And the margins are the area around where the tumor was, you know, centimeters, 2 or 3 centimeters, depending on what the doctor thinks. And they send all of that out to pathology to see whether the cancer has spread and or, you know, if they got it all.
So how has your life changed? I know that this sounds like a very trite question, but how has your life changed after that diagnosis?
Well, it's not a trite question, and I think that my life will forever be changing from this process, Emmy. I think that the initial change was, you know, facing the fear and facing the reality of the diagnosis and the surgery, and you know, being able to confront your fears and going through a process such as a major surgery can be daunting, but I also think that it shows, for me, I felt as though I went into the well of my courage and my strength, and I did face that. So I think that if anything, it proved to myself what I already knew, and that is that I am strong and that I am able to face, you know, obstacles that life hands me. And I think that it's going to continue to evolve in terms of how it affected my life. I think that I really believe that I have a greater purpose now. I'm 54 years old, and I have accomplished a lot already in my life, but I feel that this has taught me and opened my eyes to the reality that I have a lot more yet to accomplish, and that's very exciting. I really feel as well that I am going to be able to help others who are less fortunate or who are going through this process and didn't or don't or won't have the support network that I had with family and friends. Because having a support system around you when you go through something that's not only physically challenging but emotionally challenging is very important. So I think that it's brought me to another level of being able to help others.
I really congratulate you for sharing this information, because I know when I interview people, I do pre-interview my guests, and I want to make sure that there are no surprises in the questions. And so it's very honorable that you are sharing this information so early on. It's only been less than a year that you're talking about this.
Well, Emmy, you know, that's just part of what I'm supposed to do. I really feel that in the core of my being. In fact, I'm going to be a guest on a television show with an oncologist here locally in Florida where I live, and I will be talking about a particular test called an Oncotype DX test, which is a specific test that tests the DNA of the cancer cells. A lot of oncologists know about this, but a lot of them don't. A lot of breast cancer patients know about it, and a lot don't. In fact, more don't, because it's fairly new. It's very state-of-the-art. And so what I will be doing is reaching out in the local community here and telling people about this test, because in my case, the DNA of my cancer cells came back that I have a 0% chance of recurrence, and that's what this test is all about, to determine what percentage, based on the individual's cancer cells, what percentage of a recurrence there is. And in my case, it came back a 0%. So for me, that was very exciting because I did not need chemotherapy. And chemotherapy, while it does save lives and certainly has helped a lot of people and have a good future, chemotherapy is very toxic. It's a toxic drug, and there are long-term, lifelong residual effects from it. So I feel very blessed that I didn't need to do this. Now, prior to having my cancer cells tested, it was pretty much carte blanche thought in the medical community that I was dealing with that I would indeed need chemotherapy. So I think this test is very important, and I am going to be talking about that, like I said. And I'm really excited because, you know, when something happens to you and you survive it, it just only makes you stronger. And so if you're stronger, then what do you do with it? You help others. I'm thinking that that's just what most people would do, Emmy.
Diana, I want to mention two examples because, and I wanted to know what your reaction to this. I was just thinking of sometimes when I buy something, let's just say if I got a blue car, then I go around the neighborhood where I'm driving, wherever I drive, if I look for blue cars, and suddenly all the blue cars start popping out into my brain because I got a blue car. So I'm thinking, because you had this diagnosis, do certain things come out in the forefront that you never noticed before? Or another example is when I've heard of people who are in the healthcare profession and they're supposed to be taking care of people, and then they have an illness themselves or something, and they're extremely embarrassed. I've heard of people who are feng shui consultants as well as massage therapists have a diagnosis of a health issue, and they're extremely upset because they're supposed to be taking care of other people. So
yeah.
Do you have any thoughts of those two examples that I shared with you?
Well, I'll take the second one because I resonate more with that, Emmy, and I think that, as a caregiver and a healthcare provider myself, suddenly I'm faced with something that is life-threatening, and the word cancer is just so scary and frightening for people, and it was for me as well. But I think that, in my situation, and I will share this because I think it's important for people that are listening, your listening audience, to understand that I believe, and there's no data and there's no scientific proof of this, but because I'm so in tune with my body and in tune with health and healing, I believe that in my case, the cancer was brought on by stress. And so I think that, the fact that I was a caregiver, I was allowing stress to affect me emotionally and, personal stress in my own personal life. And so I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed about, but I think it's something to be aware of, and that we should all recognize when we are allowing. I mean, we all have stressors and we all have things that happen to us that aren't fun, whether it be driving in traffic or something more catastrophic, the loss of a loved one or what have you. But when you allow, or when one allows personal stress to sort of infiltrate their psyche, I mean, what we've been given on this earth is our body. So stress is going to manifest itself in what we have. It's not going to manifest in the wall. It's going to manifest in our bodies. So it's very important that all caregivers pay attention to that. But I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed about. I think it's more just to be aware that we are human, and that we can have those same things happen to us, just as our patients do.
So we're here with Diana Ambrus, and we're talking about feng shui and health. Diana is a feng shui consultant as well as a certified muscular therapist. I am Emmy Louie, and we'll be taking a commercial break. I'm actually going to read some commercials, and we're actually talking with Diana Ambrus about caregivers having diagnoses. So our first commercial is the Wind Water School of Feng Shui has been training consultants since 1998. Founded by Carol J. Heider, the course explores the strength and beauty of both Black Sect and Compass schools. Carol remains one of the main instructors guiding her students via small classroom settings for one-on-one through the long-distance format. If you're looking to pursue feng shui in a more in-depth way for either personal or professional use, contact Carol at www.carolheider.com. That's spelled CarolHeider.com. That's CarolHeider.com. That's CarolHeider.com. Our next thing is the Feng Shui Institute International 2007 Conference. The Feng Shui Institute International announces its 2007 conference, The Continuum of Connectedness, which is held November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2007 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A variety of engaging topics will be presented, from mind over matter, how it is infused in the physical environment, to interior design tools for feng shui professionals. For more information, visit the Feng Shui Institute International's website, www.fengshui-ii.org. Again, that is fengshui-ii.org. Click on the link conference. Attend the Feng Shui Institute International's 2007 conference. You don't want to miss it. And we are back with Diana Ambrus. And Diana was talking about how caregivers don't need to be embarrassed about having diagnoses themselves. Any additional comments about that, Diana?
I'm sorry?
We're talking about how caregivers can be embarrassed because they're giving health care to other people, but sometimes they might be diagnosed with something or they might have an illness themselves.
Right. Well, As I said, it's nothing to be embarrassed about, but I do think that, I think we need to just pay attention to the emotional stressors in our lives and do things to change that. And when you think of feng shui, well, I think that what can we do in our home environments to make sure that our homes are clutter-free, that the air we're breathing is clear and clean, that our closets are neat and organized, because clutter in our lives equals clutter in our minds. So I think that for people out there, that's one aspect of feng shui I would say to pay attention to, just to make sure that there's a flow and a good feeling and a sense of harmony in your homes and offices. And if there isn't, then go seek someone to help you to make your space more harmonious. I think we spend a lot of times in our homes and in our offices, so it's very vital to make sure that they are healthy, because those are the environments in which we interact and live and eat and have, private conversations with our loved ones. And so I think that it's very important to pay attention to our environments.
I think it's very interesting when you talk about feng shui, as well as even for myself and practitioners who are out there, because often, and it goes the same thing where you might be giving something to somebody else, whereas you might not give that same thing to yourself. And I'm talking about people who are feng shui practitioners and their own homes, because I actually slipped into something where I wasn't happy about my own home after a while, because you get into this grind or you get into a routine and then you realize, oh my God, I don't like something about my home. And it's very natural to kind of get off course. And what I'm saying is that when, for example, I think that we have to check in with our homes made in a big way, usually once every season, or especially once every 6 months, because of just the seasonal change. And I'm talking about places where there is a seasonal change, because we have to usually winterize our furniture in the winter, and we have to change out our clothes from the summer clothes to the winter. So there's a natural seasonal change that occurs. And if we don't do that, then we're kind of backed up.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, four times a year is a very good benchmark. And I think that that it is important to take a look at our homes and be aware of what's working and what isn't working. And, I know a lot of people have a budget, and, but work within your budget and make changes slowly, one room at a time or one closet at a time, if that's the case. But, you know, I encourage my clients to create a list, room by room, of what's working for them in each individual room and what's not working for them. So sort of a good list and a bad list. And you know, I like this, I like that, I don't like this, I'm not sure about that. And that helps me to pinpoint how we can address the changes and how we can approach the plan and sort of the protocol, so to speak, of how we go about making the changes in their offices or their homes. So I think that's an important thing to do for people. Just write down the list. Say, you know, I liked this when I moved in, and I liked this color, but I don't like it anymore. And, you know, it's very important to pay attention to that.
It's also interesting that you were in the massage business before. How did you get into the feng shui part? What was the connection?
Yeah, the connection was an interesting one, I think. But I was a massage therapist. I still am. I still maintain my licensure and my national certification, and I still do massage. Albeit I don't do it the way I used to as a business, but I do it. I do have a small, select group of clients. But what happened, Emmy, was that I had known for quite some time that I wanted to leave massage eventually, because it's very physical work. You're on your feet all day, and you're physically manipulating and working with people's bodies. And I had a wonderful clientele, but it is very physical work. So I had long thought that I would do something that is more cerebral, and that I wasn't sure what it would be, but I sensed that the time would come when I would maybe sell or give up my massage practice and move into another arena. Well, I had decided at one point to redecorate my office, and I had, you know, had it painted and brought in new furniture and new art and new artifacts, and had just completely redone my entire office. And a client had walked in and said, oh, this is probably 10 or 12 years ago now, oh, Diana, you did feng shui in here. It looks wonderful. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of feng shui. And then, I don't know, two or three days later, another client came in and said the same thing. She said, oh, I love what you've done in here. It's very feng shui. So now I was really curious, because I was innately doing something that I knew nothing about. So I went out and got the book, and I started reading about it. And then after reading the book, I was just hooked. I was more fascinated than ever. And then I did search, and I found a workshop nearby where I lived at the time. And then I went to the workshop and fell in love with it even more. That was an all-day workshop. And then I continued to seek out feng shui, because it just was, again, so fascinating and interesting to me, and it just resonated with everything that I felt. I mean, for a long, long time, I was healing people's bodies, and now I was aware that I was still going to be and could be a healer, only I would be healing environments. So it's very fascinating to me. So then I took a long weekend seminar, a three-day seminar, and it was after that seminar when I came back home and started implementing feng shui in my home. And with friends, I realized that this was my new calling. So I did some research, and I sought out the Feng Shui Institute of America. And I went to school there, and I graduated, and I'm certified, and I love every minute of doing what I'm doing. It's just the most amazing work. And that's the story. That's how it all happened. So I feel very that I was called to do this, because I was innately doing it before I even knew what it was. So that's how I found feng shui, mm-hmm. or how it found me.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, you're also studying nutrition this year, right? Tell me
sorry.
About that.
We're having just so you know, Emmy, we're having a huge, huge
okay, why don't we take a little break?
But no, it's okay. Whatever you need to do.
Okay. I can still hear you. We'll take a commercial break here. Let's see.
Okay.
Renee Jensen hosts the 2007 International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. It is held at the Sheraton Hotel, Parsippany, New Jersey, in the United States, on September 28th, 29th, and 30th of 2007. There is a fabulous show featuring world-renowned experts in interior design, feng shui, green design, architecture, and healthy living. Attend the International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. Visit the website www.consciousdesignexpo.com. That's www.consciousdesignexpo.com. and see you there. I have another commercial. Are you looking for a way to increase your flow of wealth? For information on a realistic home-based business opportunity, call 716-946-8402. Learn how you can partner with a half-million-dollar TV infomercial company marketing a superior line of whole food products that positively impact people's lives. Work part-time, spare time, or full-time. That number again is 716-946-8402. Call now. And we are back with Diana Ambrus, Feng Shui Consultant, and we're talking about Feng Shui and health. And I understand that you are beginning to study nutrition this year. I think it's rather interesting that how does that coincide with your faculty?
Yes, and I just want to say to you and to your listening audience that we are indeed having a very huge thunderstorm where I am, so I hope I don't lose you. But yes, I decided to go back and work towards a degree in a bachelor's of science in alternative medicine. And so, yes, I'm studying biology and naturopathy and nutrition and all of the above, and it is fascinating. It's something that suddenly just appealed to me. I was reading, nutrition has always appealed to me, and I think it's very important to pay attention to. And again, maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And so I determined that I would pursue this course of study, and I'm in the process of that right now. And I love it. It's fascinating and interesting, and I just had a most amazing biology course. It just opened my eyes up to a lot of, you know, people, what's happening in our bodies and in our environment, and just fascinating.
How important is nutrition? Because I've been talking to some healthcare professionals, and some people say that things are genetically determined. Some people say it's environment. And there's such a variety of whatever you want to call it, theories in regards to nutrition. Can you enlighten us on some of the, maybe give us some tidbits on that as far as nutrition?
Well, I will start by saying clearly I am not a physicist. I'm not a doctor. I will just start saying that. But I really believe that the internal part of our bodies is very important. I mean, we can see the outside, but we don't know what's going on in the inside. And I think it's vitally important. I mean, obviously, what keeps us alive is the food and the sustenance that, you know, we give our bodies, the food and the drink. And I can't say that I'm an expert on it. I haven't researched it enough. I'm still on the first leg of the journey, so to speak, with regards to that. But in, you know, my limited knowledge, if we are not taking care of the inside of our bodies, well, then we're in big trouble. I think it's important. There are tests that people can do that can test the digestive system right from the beginning of when you put food in your mouth and saliva first starts to break it up to, you know, all the way through the entire system, you know. But I think it's really important that we pay attention. You know, I think it's one thing that comes to mind for me, Emmy, is that I think if we look at food that we put in our bodies, if we look at it as medicine, you know, a healthy medicine, I think that's a good way to look at it. Because, you know, when you look at a potato chip, well, you know, that's not really medicine. You know, when you look at an apple, that's medicine. I mean, we're not made to eat processed foods. Our bodies are not made to digest, you know, trans fats. That little bit I do know. And so I really believe diet and exercise. You know, we are supposed to move. And that old age-old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. I mean, we have got to move. We've got to be active and drink a lot of water. I mean, our bodies are made up of 75% of water. So if we don't flush our bodies out continually, then our bodies are trained to hold on to what we have. And so then you've got toxic water and substances traveling around through our system. So, you know, if we're constantly flushing our system out with new, fresh, clear water, you know, we are doing ourselves a great service. So there's, pardon me, excuse me. So So there are a lot of things that we should be paying attention to with regards to nutrition and diet, and I throw in exercise because I think that is equally vital. Excuse me.
Do you, when you talk about nutrition, or do you study the food groups and all that, or is there such thing? How does it get divided into that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Because I know that growing up in our classrooms, we talked about the four food groups. Do you study any of that kind of stuff at this point?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
The four food groups?
Oh, okay, yes, yeah. What about them?
Do you study them, or do you study it? Is it a different type of four food groups, or what is the latest information on that?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
So I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
Can you tell us more about health and feng shui? There are probably listeners out there that are probably curious about that, and just several tips you have about that.
Yes, and I apologize. I've suddenly developed a small tickle in my throat, so forgive me. But there is one thing that comes to mind when you say health and feng shui, and you ask about that, and that is there is a map called the Bagua, which may, to people that know about feng shui, that may mean something too, but for those that don't really know enough about feng shui, it's a map that we sort of place over our homes, and the map is broken up into 9 squares, and each square represents a section of our lives. One square, for instance, represents our career, one represents our family, one represents relationships, and there is one that represents health. So the health square is at the center of our homes, and it is also at the center of each room. So if you took this map and placed it over your entire home, the health square would be whatever's in the middle of your home. If you took this map and you placed it over a room, the health square would be what is in the center of that individual room. So with that being said, I encourage people to look, for instance, in my home office, the center of my room is my desk. And so I made sure that I have a beautiful desk that's beautiful to me. And I make sure that desk is immaculate. And placed on that desk are things that are beautiful to me. And I have a work desk behind that desk where I keep my computer and my Rolodex and my phone and my pens and all of that other stuff. And I have a swivel chair so that when I want to work on a project, I work on my beautiful desk and I look at the beautiful objects I have on it. But when I want to have mail and clutter and things I need to work through, that's on the back desk. I make sure at the end of the day, if I'm using both desks, I make sure that I purposefully clean off the desk that is the beautiful one that's in the center of the room, and I intentionally do that because I want to have good health, and I do have good health, and I believe that what happened to me is something that's gone and behind me as far as having breast cancer, and that I now am in perfect health, and I think it's very important to have a positive outlook and to have a focus on the things that you really want in your life. And I do the same thing for the center of my house. And the center of my house is an area that I keep open and clear, and I have a dining room that opens up into the living room, and I keep it, I just make sure that it's clear and clean. I always have fresh flowers. Yellow is a very good color for health because that health section of the map, the Bagua that I just was talking about, relates to the earth, and so yellow is a very good color. So I always have fresh flowers. In fact, right now I have an absolutely beautiful live yellow orchid. It's huge and gorgeous, and it's in the health center in my living room at my home. And so I think it's important to pay attention to that part of our home. So for your listeners that might want to just try a few experiments, and maybe they've been having some health issues, I would ask them to pay attention to that part of their home and or individual rooms. And I think that's probably the best I could offer right now, because feng shui is simple and yet it's very complicated, and sometimes people read books and they get confused. And so I think that for people that don't know a lot about it, the best thing I could say is just keep it simple You know, take one or two things from the books that you read and make some changes. Don't worry about making changes in every corner of your home and in every room. And certainly, if you're interested in feng shui, hire someone who's a professional to come in and help you. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes. Can you also had a massage business? Actually, we didn't talk about that. Did we talk about that? You were a massage therapist, and you had a very successful business. Can you tell me about just business in general and how people in health and nutrition and alternative health lifestyles maintain their business, or any recommendations on that? Because you led a very successful business.
Well, my thought for me was that I absolutely loved massage. And I wanted to give massages, but I also wanted to be successful giving massages. So I brought people in to work with me, and that I found was, I had my own practice, and I brought people in to, complement my practice. I brought in a craniosacral person and a foot reflexologist, and I created a healing center, so to speak. And then I had a business office, a separate office, and I had people working for me at a beach club. And so I ran my business as a business rather than just giving individual massages. And, I really feel that it's more than a feeling, but it's an awareness and it's a truth that looking back at all those years that I was very actively giving massage, I realized how important it was for my clients to be getting massage. And I saw the changes in their lives, the people that had back problems, people that had hip problems, the people that couldn't turn their neck because they'd had a car accident 5 years ago and never did anything about it. And not to take anything away from traditional Western medicine, but a lot of people will go into hospitals for accidents and injuries or what have you, and the doctors are not telling them to get massage. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, in one of his dissertations, wrote about massage. And so I can't say enough about it. I still give them. I get them on a regular basis. It's probably one of the better things people can do for themselves to help rid your body of toxins, to increase the circulation, while at the same time calm the central nervous system. I mean, stress in our lives is cumulative, and so we're constantly adding. And if you're doing something to counteract it, then you are in a better place. And if massage doesn't work for you, well, do yoga or practice deep breathing techniques or whatever works. But clearly, yeah, I think that for people that are trying to have a massage business, you can determine whether you want to do it and make a lot of money, or you can determine whether you want to do it part-time. In my case, I wanted to have a business. It was important to me. And I think I didn't advertise, but what I did was I was fortunate enough to have the local newspaper do an article on me, and I additionally studied neuromuscular therapy, which is soft tissue injury, and then the local orthopedic surgeons and chiropractors and the local dentist, even with patients with TMJ, began to refer their patients to me with good success. And so I began to develop name recognition in a small community where I lived and worked. And with the name recognition came more patients and more clients. And
can you tell me more about the soft tissue as well as the TMJ? I think what you're saying is soft tissue have to do with car accidents?
Soft tissue is in our bodies, our muscles, tendons, ligaments, the connective tissue. Those are soft tissues. Tissues that can be manipulated and palpated and moved around. The hard tissues are obviously bone, and then, of course, we have all of our organ tissues, which cannot be palpated without some kind of surgical procedure. But so the soft tissues are, working with the tendon attachments and the muscles and the connective tissue to release tension and toxins in the body.
Yeah, could tell me some of the more modern or latest therapies on massage therapies, because I've heard of craniosacral, but I've even had it done on myself, but I really don't understand why it's done, and while I'm getting a massage, I don't ask why. But can you summarize for us some of those techniques and all that?
Well, deep tissue massage obviously is deep tissue. It's kind of follows its own name, and that is that you go deep into the muscles and you work out the tension by applying a deep pressure into the muscle. Craniosacral is the exact opposite. It's very light. It's where you're working the cranial and the sacrum, but just working set nerves and by applying very, very, very gentle pressure on the scalp and the head and then on the lower back. And its premise and philosophy is to rebalance the central nervous system. There's a fluid-filled sac that surrounds our spinal column, and to rebalance that. Foot reflexology is based on an ancient Chinese philosophy that all of our feet, the bottom of our feet, is a map for our entire body, including our internal organs. And so by applying pressure points in our feet, we are releasing tension to the specific organs and body parts. Neuromuscular therapy, which is one of the things that I loved, is working with soft tissue injury, and that is, the injury mainly to the muscles and probably more specifically to the tendon attachments, like tennis elbow, for instance. A lot of times people have an injury to their knee, the tendons around the knee, the lower back tendons or their neck tendons up near the cranium, up near the occipital ridge. You work with the tendons to loosen them up, because when a muscle tightens in and pulls in on itself, it's pulling away on where it's attached, and the muscles are attached to the bone via the tendons. So neuromuscular therapy is working with the tendons. And then there's myofascial release, which is releasing the connective tissue in the body. There's lymph drainage massage, which is fantastic. I'm not trained in that, but that is to work with people like me who have had surgery and to work to get the lymph drainage flowing. And there are all kinds, and I'm really not up to date on some of the newer kinds.
Yeah. When you say to have regular massages, I actually have a massage every 3 weeks. I've heard of people having massages, some recommend it even once a week, once a month, once every 3 weeks. I wanted to see if you could convince some people who normally don't have massages, because I even talked with my husband, who's a physician, and he said he doesn't want to have a massage or something like that because he thinks it's frivolous, where it's a luxury to have a massage. Can you convince some people that it's not really a luxury, it's actually therapeutic? It's not something that you just go to a day spa and it's something where you have extra time and you go for a massage, where it's actually vital to your health.
Yes, well, I don't know that I can convince someone like your husband or someone else, because if you can't convince him, I don't know if I can. But I can tell you this, Emmy, that if he were to receive a massage from someone like me who absolutely believes in it, who loves it, who knows the therapeutic benefits and is a good therapist and a professional, I think he would be pleasantly surprised, and probably so much so that he would want to go again. And in regard to what you said earlier, I do think it's vital, because I did mention that stress is counted. So one massage is great. Doesn't that feel good? I feel fantastic, and that's great. However, we need to constantly counteract the stress in our lives. So I think, for me, I get a massage every week, and I say to people, you need to look at, number one, what your pocketbook can afford, what your wallet can afford. Number two, you need to look at what your schedule holds. I mean, if you're a busy physician like your husband and he doesn't have a whole lot of time, well, getting a massage every week, he could probably afford them, but getting one every week would be maybe not work for him. So I say to people, the last thing you need to do is stress a massage. So you need to be thinking about, well, what's going to work for me both financially and in my schedule? And then you create, so every 3 weeks is good, and once a month is good. 2 weeks is better, every 2 weeks is better, once a week is even better than that. But as far as getting back to your husband, I'm disappointed in someone that is a traditional Western and trained physician that is so closed off to something that has been around forever. And that, you know, I'm sure he took the Hippocratic Oath when he was sworn in as a physician. And, you know, to think that the father of medicine talked about massage. So I would challenge him to do is I would say, you know, I'm disappointed in you that you would say that as an intelligent, successful, bright, trained physician that you would poo-poo this and that you wouldn't give it a chance and just say, okay, I'm going to give this a try because before I turn away from it, and to really give it a try with an open mind. And this is not just for your husband. I mean, we're picking on him a little bit right now, but this is for others out there, too, just to go and have an open mind and don't just do it once. Book yourself 2 massages and go from there.
Well, but also, I wanted to know your thoughts about how people maybe feel after massage, because I have been in situations where I was so relaxed I could barely drive a car.
I have to leave you now briefly, and I'm really sorry, but I do have to go. But I will just leave you with this, if I may, and I apologize that I can't stay for the whole of your show. But you know, I tell people they need to sit down for a few minutes and have a drink of water. And yes, you're very relaxed because your central nervous system is calmed down, and you feel. Oftentimes, people go home and have a nap. And I definitely tell people not to exercise, not to ride a bike, not to run, not to lift weights, and that they should just relax the balance of the day.
Okay, Diana, what is your website? How can people reach you?
They can reach me at Diana, D-I-A-N-A, Armbrust, A-R-M-B-R-U-S-T, .com. And it's all one word, DianaArmbrust.com.
And you are listening to the Emmy Louie Show. Also, you can look at some other archives from the Seventh Wave Network on www.emyloue.com. Thank you so much, Diana, for your courage and being a bright light to all of us and sharing your stories, something that can be very traumatic for some people. And some people see this as a great opportunity to share their love and their joy with other people. Thank you, Diana.
Emmy, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much, dear.
Really, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you, and namaste.
Namaste. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.